you're about to hear Bob's Slacktime Funhouse is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Good evening, Yetis and Simpletons, and welcome to a semi-special Lymph Node edition of Bob's Slacktime Funhouse. This evening, we're going to do some science. But first, the 1 o'clock jump. This evening, the Lymph Node Institute will engage in some social science, which is to say, the art of history making. All good art, as all good science, starts from a number of core assumptions. One assumption we will entertain this evening is that history is cyclical. Of course, when we say that history repeats, we mean specifically that human stupidity repeats. It is also useful to believe that technological civilizations come and go, obliterating evidence of themselves in their cataclysmic demises. And, most importantly, while we know there is a subset of motivated and capable subgeniuses who would likely thrive in the wild, the cold fact is that the vast majority of Yeti DNA is housed in Yetensini, who are totally nincuff, helpless. Therefore, civilization is better for Yeti DNA. The food is better, and the pinks are far less pointy. The Lymph Node Institute has always sought to model the past, present, and immediate future for the benefit of Yeti survival. And what we have come to report this evening is that this particular corner of Pinkdom is approaching a trough, a nadir, a low point in the proceedings. And tonight, we are prepared to issue a report and recommendation for protection of the Yeti DNA payload in the coming good bad times. For what approaches may be a time of lack and want, but also a time of increasingly intense morbid comedy. It is the opinion of the Lymph Node Institute that the time in pink history that we are emulating is the 1920s, the jazz age, with its values of individualism and hedonistic pleasure. You do understand that we're not criticizing individualism and hedonistic pleasure. It's just that you can't build a civilization out of them. The jazz age, a term coined by author F. Scott Fitzgerald. The jazz age was also a time of technological advances. Cars, airplanes, phones, and oh yeah, a time of very conservative politics. Union busting, commie pulping, and probably the worst run of American presidents ever. Mostly Republican. But this, dear listener, is the age of public individualism and public hedonistic pleasure. This is not the jazz age, for this society has fully milked its former African slaves for every drop of culture that could be wrung out of them. No, this is not the jazz age. This is the booty-shaking, anything-goes, holy-ish, they could never imagine it, jizz age, in which we lay down the jizz tracks that lead beyond the nightmare of the immediate future, the same tracks which will be oozed upon by yetis for eons to come.
Penis and sperm. Penis and sperm. Penis.
Dirt.
Penis. Penis and sperm.
Dirt.
Penis and sperm.
Dirt.
Penis and sperm.
Dirt.
Calls it a penis.
Sperm. Sperm.
Penis.
Sperm.
Sperm. Sperm. Sperm. Sperm. Sperm.
Testicles. Testicles. Testicles.
Testicles. Testicles.
Testicles.
Yuck. To begin with. To begin with,
extra dumb. Extra dumb.
To begin with,
penis and sperm, penis and sperm,
dirt.
You bad starts that scared me off.
Come on, come on.
Come on, 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 come on,
to snipe in some listeners.
Sperm.
Jizz Age is a police state with booty shaken, perhaps mandatory booty shaken. Like the Jazz Age, the Jizz Age is an era of frenzied pink gluttony and conspicuous consumption that is, shall we say, unsustainable. Also, prohibition, and oddly enough, an Arab chic, so to speak. Of course, there are differences. The economic catastrophe that will end this little party won't be the brainchild of robber barons meeting on Jekyll Island. This global snowball will be melted by world forces and will not be characterized by a lack of food, per se, but a lack of fuel, a lack of ability to distribute what it is we produce. This begs the question, what will a 21st century depression look like? Oh, don't worry. There will be plenty of TV and internet, and plenty of manufacturing, but no fuel to move things about or distribute them, which, in one sense, is okay, because we'll all be wired together by then. the fuel black market will be unwieldy, to say the least, and will provide ample opportunity for morbid comedy. Ah, what a morbid comedy awaits us when bullets start flying around gas stations and gas-huffing cretins jackknife fuel trucks on overpasses. Of course, the collapse will be followed by a sudden political turn. Of course, nothing will change with the apes' inability to stop playing their little false dichotomy game. It'll be the same shiny coin, just the other side of it. Mr. Bush has set some useful precedents that will be exploited by the Uno Mundistos, who will take office behind a Let's Manage the Rabble FDR figure. Oddly enough, our models show that there is a 75% chance that Yetis will be thankful for that conservative Supreme Court. And if we do spend a little time in a Christian gulag, then I believe we've made plans for that as well.
And three, play, four.
Let's put a little life in it. From the top front, once more.
Hang,
prisoners above, blue skies above, can keep our hearts in prayer. Prisoners above,
higher, you animals, higher! We open and live with Saturday night!
You can lock yourselves and lose the key, but hearts in prisoners of love, blue skies above, 'cause we're still prisoners of love. Oh, you can lock us up and lose the key, but hearts in love will always be. Prisoners of love, blue skies above, 'cause we're still prisoners.
Good evening, Utensini. This is a blithe Doc Ellis of the Lymph Node Institute. Tonight, I would like to talk to another audience besides you, the cells of this great beast that is our church, our rock, and our deceiver. I would like to address that scruffy guy laying on the floor of that strange room, and you, the skinny girl in the back seat who can't remember where the car is headed. You, my captive audience. Your proximity to this broadcast is no accident. Bob's is a strange and frightening bedotted countenance, which comes unto you likened to the angry bum in the alley. Though he may befoul you and rob you in unexpected ways, you also gain from his violation. For Bob is the center of a giant reciprocal force, and though he befouls and robs, he also blanches and misplaces, so creating as he destroys, and obeying the first law of thermodynamics, which states that energy can only be converted from one state to another, but cannot be created or destroyed. I cannot stress this enough. Bob is a very lucky man, and we're with the whole briny claws scuttling bit. Elliot, the question Bob has for you tonight is, how would you like to bust one of those claws of yours open and taste your own succulent meat? Because whether you know it or not, you have been living on borrowed time since July of 1998. And this brief foray of yours to the happy side of the luck plane is both a warning and an inducement. The Church of the Subgenius, no less than Bob's spear lanced to the core of this world, is the only religion that just wants to befoul and rob you. Your brain, life, soul, etc. are yours to keep, or at least hold on to for as long as you can. The other religions are imperfect imitations, or precursors, depending on how you look at it. But however you look at it, this is the only church that works for you. While we're on the subject, to be honest for once, I too was deeply wounded when July 5th, 1998 rolled around and I was denied the spectacle of my unsaved friends and loved ones tortured by the indignity of the surreal death of my own personal design. Yeah, I had big plans, and Bob just pissed him away. But we're well past that now. Right past that, into the frozen, shrieking, steel death trap. Okay. Well, I know I see people, and they ask me, how did the Institute fall into the sway with the church? Well, it was almost inevitable. When you deal in incalculable margins as we do, naturally, when it came time to select a trans-intuitive meme conveyance device, we chose the one with the nice, pointy smile. That, and it does attract a somewhat higher quality sample of the gene pool. Of course, as in a usual population, about half the samples are fruitless, but for some reason far more vocal about it. The apathy and ennui that supernatural protection can lead to, for some, is that last layer of jade that forces their heads to sink into their torsos. However, and listen closely, because this is how we make our money. The other half, instead of being merely acceptable, as in the population at large, is extraordinary. And I tell you, the thing I love about the subgenius mind, almost without exception, is that the extraordinary ones think that they are purposeless, and the fruitless ones think that they are extraordinary. We've been working on that squirt package almost from the beginning. But more than just an easy access to an unquantifiable demographic, the church, quite frankly, is the most powerful opiate at our disposal. And, of course, the triple your money back guarantee. Because everything has a price, so pay up if you won't wake up and get you some of that sweet, sweet slack while you still can. I don't have to tell you what this church does for the mutant population at large. The jolly factors have not stopped rising since Bob was first shot in the 80s. These jolly factors, of course, cannot rise forever, but try to enjoy the flow and fatten up your mental ifs. For perhaps leaner days when the inevitable ebb sucks you dry. So, take it for granted, but also enjoy the decadence of your easy dismissal of plenty, an infinite regress of self-referential onanism. And then, in the rapidly approaching global American Christian theocracy, you will finally have an opportunity to appreciate all the associative spice that the church has added to your collective stew. Yes, when the big squeeze comes, a good laugh, or how about a sincere smile, will be at a premium. And when all of those chemicals you pour into your gullet are cut off, you will find that your memory is a lot better than you think. That's the good news. As for the bad news, well, let me put it this way. As you try to slip away in your cell, away from the stench and pathetic vacant murmurs of those not so well connected as you, beneath the incessant squall of monotone Bible passages echoing off of concrete and steel day and night, well, at about that moment, you, weary traveler, will have some place to go. That funny thing Stang said that time, that comic panel etched on your eyelids, that distant twinkle of a Rudy Schwartz ditty. Whatever it is one last place they cannot touch. It won't save your life or ultimately your sanity, but it might save your soul, which will then return to the quagmire from whence it issued, pure and potent, to reinfect the fibers of the core. So, when the whole operation goes belly up and the books are burning in the street and the wiccas are swinging from the street lamps, you will be that lucky one whistling your way to your martyrdom that will unnerve them and their kind forever. Or at least until they wipe out the first 90% or so of the mutant population, then they will undoubtedly lose their zeal, and the 10% that remains can begin infection of the meat side with their latent Yeti gene, just like they did about 600 years ago. The time to have your head up is now. The time of fire and glass will be the time to duck, silly goose. So, when those durable and self-replicating thought viruses envelop your fevered brain, try to remember to break off a little something for that man, Bob.
There's nothing more unholy in human history than holy war. There's nothing more unholy in human history than holy war. There's nothing more unholy. You look back, you'll see. You look back, you'll see. Every people has committed its sins. In every people, there's a, there are two souls contending. Once you talk holy war, you condemn yourself to death. If you're up against pure evil, and you claim with true Christian humility to be pure good, then there's no way out except murder. And murder means mutual suicide.
So I'm no better than the animals sitting in their cages in the zoo, man. Cause compared to the flowers and the birds and the trees,
I am a game man.
I think I'm so educated and I'm so civilized, cause I'm a strict vegetarian. And with the overpopulation and inflation and starvation and the crazy politicians,
I don't feel safe in this world no more. I don't wanna die in a nuclear war. I wanna sail away to a distant shore.
That sits in the sky, compared to the clouds as they roll by, compared to the bugs and the spiders and flies, I'm a cave man.
La 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 la.
In man's evolution, he's created the cities and the motor traffic run. But give me half a chance and I'd be taking off my clothes and living in the jungle.
I look out the window but I can't see the sky.
Around in your bones. When the lazy syncopation of the music softly moans, ain't no sin, take off your skin, dance around in your bones. The polar bears are all up in Greenland, they've got the right idea. They think it's great to refrigerate while we all cremate down here. Like those bamboo babies in South Sea tropic zones, it ain't no sin to take off your skin and dance around in your bones, jazz.
Any hole, and nobody knows the rest. If a gal wears x-ray dresses and sews everything she owns, it ain't no sin to take off your skin, dance around in your bones. Dry bones,
lazy bones, big bones, dance around in your bones.
We are not all gangly morons and sleazy greasers. 20 years after defeating the extremist racist ideologies of the Nazis and the Japanese, Jim Crow collapsed under the weight of post-war cognitive dissonance. We are now battling religious extremists. What might happen after that battle? Right now, the religious fundamentalists of our own locale have the advantage because they have the emotional argument. They have billboards of spaghetti-like embryos vacuumed out and flushed down the drain. Yes, yes, tragic, I'm sure. But once they win, and once abortion is made illegal, that emotional momentum will switch because the other side will then have the emotional heft of all of the dead girls. Not little clumps of spaghetti, but living, breathing, and a huff, sexy young girls. High school yearbook photos of dead girls who died due to legislation. And then, having lost their emotional heft, the political churches will recede because, hilariously enough, the people who are the most conservative and the most religious are, of course, the ones with the most to lose, the ones who suffer the greatest during these times. Oh, that's just tasty. It's all I can do to keep down the horn. And eventually, as hard as it is to believe, these people do eventually become tired of being punished for being alive.
Listen, you are the salt of the earth. Salt. Well, you don't serve salt as a side course. Salt isn't really eaten for its own sake. Salt is rather put into meat to preserve it, to spice it up, to make it taste better. The point of the church is to spice up the world. Salt melts ice. It makes things flow that are frozen. What's the church's task? By being, we loosen up a world that's frozen in its own self-regard. We have this melting influence around us. We're meant, though, not for ourselves, but for that icy world that needs to flow again. In the ancient world, when they conquered a city, they'd knock down the walls. They'd raise the city to the ground. And then, really to rub it in, they would salt the ground, salt the earth, make sure nothing would ever grow there again. Salt has a destructive power. It's meant to destroy certain things. Are we meant to destroy certain things in the world? Yes. We're meant to interrupt them. We're meant to get in their way. The purpose of the church is not to fuss about itself, but to affect the world, spicing it up, preserving it, making it flow, destroying certain things in it.
Listen to the hardworking people. To the lonely of birth, raise your glass to the good and the evil. Let's drink to the salt of the earth. Say your prayer for the common foot soldier. Spare a heart for his backbreaking work. Say your prayer for his wife and his children. Burn the fires and who still kill the earth. When I search a faceless crowd, a swirling mass of green and black and white, they don't look real to me. Look so strange. Raise your glass
rafters. Show us a dancer off rodeo. When I look into their faces, crowd. Don't look real to me. Oh, don't they look so
plain?
Free food tickets, water and the milk from the hole in the roof where the rain came through. What can you do? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Tears for the little sister, crying because she doesn't have a dress without a patch for the body to go. Oh, but she'll know, she'll get by. Because she's living in the love of the common people. Smiles in the heart of the family man. Her daddy's gonna buy her a dream to cling to. And her mama's gonna love her just as much as she can. She can. It's a good thing you don't have bus fare. You'd fall through the hole in your pocket and you'd lose it in the snow on the ground. Walking to town, honey child. You try to keep your hands warm, but the hole in your shoe lets the snow come through and it chills your bone. Oh, you better go home where it's warm and you will live in the love of the common people. Smiles in the heart of the family man. Your daddy's gonna buy you a dream to cling to. Mama's gonna love you just as much as she can. She can. You know that living on dreams ain't easy, but the closer the knit, the tighter the fit, and the chills stay away. Well, you take them in stride, family pride. You know that faith is your foundation, with a whole lot of love and a warm conversation. And of course there's prayer, making you strong where you belong. And you
love you just as much as she can. She can. Oh yeah, you're living in the love of the common people. Smiles in the heart of the family man. Your daddy's gonna buy you.
You don't have to be Master Jack Handyman to figure out that some changes will have to take place. Adjustments must be made to preserve the pool of Yeti DNA. What follows are a few suggestions that one might consider tucking away in the back of one's mind for the hideous future. You might consider moving to an urban area and learning your way around. Learn how to travel by sewer. Learn how to farm and cook rodents. That is, if you can't give up meat. Do eat the Soylent Green. It has the highest nutrition of any of the Soylent products. May contain prions. Try to eat Soylent Green made from heroes so that you'll get their courage. Do remember, when you're sitting in your dark, crowded apartment, listening to the screeching of the distant ape men and smelling the pestench of the local Yeti, if you're lucky, remember how you used to fear the government-engineered DNA super freak animals. Then, think of how badly you would like to put one of those DNA super freak animals in your belly and laugh and laugh and laugh. Suburbs will be a place of super status. They won't need gates because 30 miles will be too far to walk from the city to loot them. Learn Mandarin Chinese and apply to the communist government for a license to practice business in Shanghai or Hong Kong. Learn to be a plumber. Plumbing is the easiest of the necessary skills. Yes, it is easier than prostitution. Most of you can't even put your own finger up your own ass, which is, of course, the only universal element of all biped rites of passage. And keep this in mind. It is in the midst of this chaos and techno squalor prophesied by the son of Gib, among others, that Dobbs' sweet hand will enter a new phase of wallet outreach, spawning Yeti urban tribes who will schism and war against each other. Out of this morass of unnatural subjection, the most depraved defenders of Yeti DNA will arise to goad the world into a new dark age of slack. The one that I have seen in the laboratory scrining bowl has the head of Stang, the limbs of legume, the body of a dog, and is female. This is, luckily, far past our life expectancies. But the jizz tracks that we lay down today will be oozed upon by Yetis for eons to come. And that is why this is the jizz age. In the unlikely event that this model should tank, two axia will remain constant. First, the most simple. People have the government that they deserve, especially democracies. And second, no matter how hideous, someday you will look back on now, yes, right now, as the good old days. And so, our final prognosis, oddly enough, is that everything is going to be okay. In fact, better than okay. Everything is going to be great. And after we erect the great Yeti culture, the spires of Dobbs Tower, the river of Squirt, nations built on you fat, hairy scuff squirting your brains out, the Exists will come and pound it all to dust and drag our writhing souls into space to be eternally raped by the space squid so euphemistically referred to as the sex goddesses.
above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again. All together, shout it now. There's no one who can doubt it now. So let's tell the world about it now. Happy days are here again. Your cares and troubles are gone, and there'll be no more from now on. Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again.
If you would like more information on the Church of the Subgenius, you could write to them at P.O. Box 181-417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio, 44118-1417, or visit them online at subgenius.com.
And if that's what it takes to nail Myrna Loy, then it will all be worth it. This bit of wishful chicken littlery has consisted of Count Basie and Benny Goodman involuntarily collaborating on 1 o'clock Jump. And then in the background, you heard Exploding Plastics with an Exit Both Ends performing Happy Jizz Girls. Then Negative Land put together Penis and Sperm. Danita Brain performed Jizz Don't Impress Me Much. Then Prisoners of Love from the movie The Producers, the original. The Lymph Node Institute's old Praise Bob rant. Kronos Quartet performed It Raged. The Iso Trinidad Steel Band performed a cover of The Kinks' Ape Man. The Mardi Gros Orchestra said it's no sin to take off your skin and dance around in your bones. That may come in handy someday. Then a bit of preaching about salt. The Rolling Stones performed Salt of the Earth. And we went slumming with Leonard Nimoy, who performed The Love of the Common People. And the last thing you heard, Happy Days Are Here Again, was the song that was number one in the charts in October of 1929, when the whole Tisch House temporarily caved in. And our last song this evening, if you concentrate really, really hard on it, you can hear all of the themes discussed in this show. Tune in next week for Susie.
He's just a sentimental gentleman from Georgia, Georgia. Gentle to the ladies all the time. And when it comes to loving, he's a real professor. Yes, sir. Just a Mason-Dixon Valentine. Just see those Georgia peaches hanging around him now. Cause once this baby teaches, nobody else knows how. This sentimental gentleman from Georgia, Georgia, gentle to the ladies all the time.
Godly charm. Whoa, 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 whoa. Walking down the hall, the dentist loomed through the door.
Why trust Bob? Why trust the Church of the Subgenius? There are indeed many false Bobs, many false yous, and many dangerous false Subgenius churches. The fact that you have to question even Bob is the surest sign that the judgment is at hand. To an ascended being, the human race is like a dog that has been hit by a car, writhing beside the highway in excruciating pain. One can go to a lot of trouble taking that dog to a vet, or one can leave it to die. Or one can put it out of its misery immediately simply by backing over it. Or one might take it home and eat it. Soon, the ascended beings will make that choice. Make their decision that much easier by listening to the Hour of Slack every Saturday night at midnight right here on WREK Atlanta, keeping the apocalypse at bay for about 50 years now. You're welcome.